Please take your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 8 this morning. Proverbs chapter 8. Let's look to the Lord before we look to His Word. Father, we thank You for the God that You are, God who is wise, alone is wise. Lord, as we look at this passage this morning, I pray that You would help us to see Your wisdom, to see You in Your Word, and that we would seek You, not our own way. Help me to clearly explain this passage, and may You use it mightily in and through us to make us more like Your Son, Jesus Christ, the embodiment of wisdom. I commit this now to You in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled my message this morning, Why Wisdom is Best. Why Wisdom is Best. What are the best tool brands? Hey, yeah, there you go. See, I knew this was going to be a dead giveaway here. We got it up here. I mean, you got all these options out there, and there's some decent tools in there. I'll give you that, you know. But really, when it comes down to it, nothing beats Milwaukee because it's nothing but heavy duty. Yeah, they have great innovations, and really, it's a lot of that has really come in the last probably decade or so. They've gone from about 1-2% of the market share to it's pretty much what you see on most major job sites, and even in some homeowners, do-it-yourselfers. I always have to list myself as a DIY enthusiast when I pick the categories online or whatever. So, but yes, and plus red and black is just pretty cool. I mean. And that, you know, white looks pretty sharp. I mean, not that it's all about the colors, but, you know, we have preferences. We think things are best when it comes to tools. But how much more? Proverbs chapter 8 tells us of something even better than Milwaukee tools. I know, shocker that is, which is wisdom. It is the best for a number of reasons that are still true even today. And I want to share those with you. Last week, we learned from our study of the book of Proverbs about safeguarding against the seductress by following the steps of staying close to Scripture. We need to keep or treasure the Word of God just as we would our pupil. It needs to be internalized and make it close to us if we are to stay away from sexual temptation. Then we need to see through the lies and realize that we need to stay away from her temptations, which are very powerful. And it ultimately will cost you your life if you go down those roads. So see through the lies. And then lastly, stay alert to drifting, to beware of the danger of drifting into our path, as many have done and led to their own destruction. Ultimately, it leads to death, eternal damnation, as sin always takes us there. Now, Solomon, in his second personified wisdom appeal, I read you the first one, and as we began our service there from read portion of it, and then it's also in chapter 1, verses 20 through 33, as wisdom calling out. The other was another wisdom section. So there's been this major contrast in the book of Proverbs between woman wisdom and the wicked woman, or the strange woman, or the immoral woman. And here we have, coming on the heels of chapter 7, really the answer and the antithesis or the contrast with the seductress and the immoral woman is the woman of wisdom. And Solomon, using this tool or means a way or metaphor of personifying wisdom as a woman, seeks to expound why wisdom is so good and needed for our lives. And from his exaltation of wisdom, I think we should learn why wisdom is best by understanding the four reasons that he gives us in these 36 verses. So the first reason is that wisdom beautifies in verses 1 through 11. Notice it begins with a call. Does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the high hill beside the way where the paths meet and cries. She cries by the gates at the entrance entry of the city at the entrance of the doors. So she, there is a cry of wisdom. Notice where she cries out from. It is from the top of the high hill, beside the way, at the crossroads, at the gates of the city. These are all points of decision. You have to decide where you're going to go, or it is a place where you come to make decisions, the gates of the city. It would basically be the equivalent of our town hall or town, city hall or something like that. There's a place where decisions are made, and not only that, when you go out of the city, you have to decide where you're going from there. If you're coming into the city, where do you go from there? Right? So it is a place where decisions have to be made. It is a time that is crucial for wisdom. So she stands there publicly, in contrast to the immoral woman who privately calls you, seduces you. She publicly calls out. Who does she call to? Notice her audience. To you, O men, and it is specifically male here, I call. And my voice is to the sons of men. That is generally to all mankind. You simple ones, we've seen that before. This is the young, the naive. Understand prudence. And you fools, the stupid ones, be of an understanding heart. So who needs wisdom? Everybody. She's calling out to everybody, every category. Even the fools need, even though they may not listen, they need to hear it. So she calls then, the rest of verses 6 through 11 is the grounds to listen to her call. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, the kind of things she talks about. And from the opening of my lips will come right things, for my mouth will speak truth. So there's the positives, the excellent, right truth, in contrast to the wicked woman who is telling lies and falsehoods, and it was all about selfishness and things. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. It won't come. God hates those things, as we've seen. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They're all plain to them who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. She's making her way plain rather than hiding it, rather than keeping it secret. It is for everyone, and it is made obvious. Receive my instruction. Here's the command then. Receive my instruction and not silver. It's better than money, and knowledge rather than choice gold or pure gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that one may desire cannot be compared with her. The value is above money, even the best money. Pure gold, rubies, jewels. And we've seen this back in chapter 3 as well as other places. That wisdom is way better than the riches of this world. So wisdom beautifies. Women have a knack for beautifying homes, don't they? It just amazes me. Men can build a house, but women make it a home. Right? I mean, you walk into a place where only a man lives, or a dorm room or something like that, and you can tell right away who lives there. Even at college, the girls just, I mean, they made their places, their dorm rooms so much more comfortable looking. The guys, it was very functional, practical. I mean, we had ways of figuring out how you could sleep in the closet or, make the most room or make your hidey holes and things like that. But the girls made it, not only look good, but it smelled a whole lot better. That is just some of the women beautify, right? Do you see how wisdom beautifies all who will listen to her? 1 Peter 3 talks about that, right? Those who follow God's way, it brings not the outward beauty, it's the beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. And then it goes on to talk about love and how that's attractive to others, and our speech. You want long life and good days and all that. And how do you interact with the unsaved? Even when they want to persecute you, you sanctify the Lord God in your heart and always be ready to give a reason the hope is in you, and meekness and fear, so that when they do persecute you unrighteously, what? They're ashamed. True beauty playing out in our lives. That's what wisdom does. You realize your need for wisdom at those crucial decision points in your life when you have to make those decisions. What do I do next? Whether it's college, a job, or marriage, or church, or, or where you will go next. What, even just the little everyday decisions. Choosing between not so much sometimes the right and wrong, but good, better, best. There's a lot of choices that we make in life that it isn't right or wrong that we're choosing. We're choosing good, better, best. And that's why Philippians 1, part of the prayer of Paul is that we would approve the things that are excellent. To seek what is best, not just what is okay. Not what God will put up with, but what is best for our lives and how we seek to serve Him. Do you understand that everyone needs wisdom? Even you. This is a call for everyone. Will you listen to you? Do you see how wisdom is more beautiful than money or anything else that you may desire? I love that Psalm 19. You know, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. I mean, all those things. We learned that as a song as kids. And, you know, it stuck with me. To the contrast between loving God and His Word and how beautiful that is and how delightful that should be to our lives. Do you see how wisdom is more beautiful? How wisdom beautifies. First reason. Second reason, wisdom benefits. Here in verses 12 through 21. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance in the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. So these are all the things that come with her. Right? Prudence, knowledge, discretion. Counsel, sound wisdom, understanding, strength. Those are just some of the benefits. Notice there, these are the results of the fear of the Lord. Is that you put off, you hate those things. The pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth. Because when you fear God is a proper view of God. We've seen this back in chapter 1. It's also chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You want the right way, you want what's best, you have to start with God. And you have to be willing to put away the evil from your life and just to welcome the good that comes with Him through wisdom. Not only that, you see the benefits that wisdom brings to kings, rulers, princes, judges, or nobles. I mean, they need wisdom to lead and to govern wisely and to reign. It helps them. Not only that, it says, I love those who love me. It's in contrast to the seductress who proclaims her desire but really doesn't love you, you know, wants to take advantage of you. This wisdom, this woman, really does love. I love those who love me. It makes me think of what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 21, you know, you love me, you love God. You know, there's a synonymous, I love those who love me. God doesn't wait to give us His love until we measure up. He gives us His love generously, even when we are His enemies. Not only that, it says that those who seek me diligently will find me. It's a truth again and again throughout Scripture that if you seek God, you seek Him, He will show Himself to you. James 1, any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives to all liberally without reproach. God is a liberal when it comes to wisdom. He will give you what you need. Isaiah 55, you seek Him, you'll be found by Him, but you need to seek Him while He can be found. And all that goes with that again and again. There's other passages I could take you to, but just the point being that you'll find Him if you seek Him in His way. Riches and honor are with me. Enduring riches. These are the lasting ones. Not like, you know, the stuff of this world. It is eternal riches, I think, that He's talking about here. Makes me think of the New Testament. What Jesus has to say in the Sermon on the Mount, where we should lay our treasures in heaven. Where thieves don't break in and steal, or moth and rust doesn't destroy. You can't lose it when you invest it in eternity. And how do you do that? Through wisdom, through seeking God's way. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, pure gold. My revenue than choice silver, sterling silver. It's the pure stuff. It is better than all of that. It enriches you I traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice. I help you that I might cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. You'd be overflowing with the riches of God. It may not look like you have much in the way of worldly wealth, but you have the riches of God through His Word. These are the benefits. Rather than the seductress, the immoral woman who will take you for all you're worth and then kill you, the woman wisdom will give you abundantly of her wealth. You know, there's benefits to owning a house, or instead of renting a house or apartment. And we saw that. You know, there's things like it's cheaper in the end, right, usually, to own your own house. You're building equity. But what are some of the other benefits of owning your own house? Why would you want to buy your own house? Yeah, it's yours. You get to do what you want with it. I mean, you can tailor it to fit you. I mean, if you've ever had the experience of living in an apartment or living in somebody else's house, there's limitations on that, right? I mean, even if they're generous to a point, you can only do so much. And really, until it becomes your own, you don't have the benefits. Do you see the benefits that wisdom gives to all who are listening to her? Do you realize that she gives prudence, knowledge, discretion, counsel, truth, strength? Do you understand how she teaches you to hate what God hates? That's what we need, right? We need to learn to hate sin and love righteousness as we fear Him. Do you see how rulers need wisdom? And if they need wisdom, how much more do we need wisdom? We need to go to God to ask for wisdom from Him. Do you realize enduring wealth of wisdom when you seek and find her, being loved by her? Sort of John 3:16 playing out in our lives. For God so loved the world that He, what? Gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What an incredible gift. The most expensive free gift that you will ever be given comes from God and His way, but you have to turn from your way and seek His. God promises if you seek Him, like Matthew 7, ask, seek, knock, you'll find Him. Right? He promises that. And we were even talking about in Sunday school, that God answering prayers. Oh, it's so easy to lose sight of that in the midst of all the requests. You see how wisdom benefits. Second point. There, third point, wisdom begins here in verses 22 through 31. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of His way, before His works of old. Before. So here we're talking God, it's talking about going back to creation, but actually saying even before creation, I existed, as wisdom is speaking here. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. Wisdom was around. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. So He's talking about creation. When there were no foundations abounding with water, the springs that come out, you know, that feed the ocean. Before the mountains were settled or sunk into their proper spot. Before the hills, I was brought forth. Now, it's a word there for born, but, you know, the point. Wisdom isn't really born, right? There's not really a beginning of wisdom. Just saying, this is how old I am. This is when I was around. While I was, as yet, He had not made the earth or the fields. These are the places that are tilled. Or the primal dust, the first earth. And maybe that's even a mention of, you know, the creation of man out of that dust. When He prepared or established the heavens, I was there. When you think of Genesis 1, and how God, you know, separates the light from the darkness and then the water from the earth, and He is making all things. John 1 talks about this as well. And who was there? Because I think in this passage, it should remind us of Jesus and really who is the embodiment of wisdom. God is the one who is alone is wise. And the New Testament talks, especially in 1 Corinthians 1, about Jesus as the wisdom of God. and how that plays out in the message of the cross. We talk about this in Sunday school of how God's wise plan. We wouldn't have come up with that kind of plan. That through the foolishness of preaching this message of God sending His only begotten Son to die for, become a human and die for us on the cross. And it looked like, you know, Satan won, and, you know, yet through that, that's what conquered sin and death. And God loves to take the foolishness of man to confound, or use foolishness to confound the wise and the mighty. Uses the foolishness of the cross. He takes ordinary people more often than He does the wise of this earth. He doesn't use a lot of Pauls. He uses a lot of us, right? The nobodies. People you may never know about who are accomplishing the majority of His work in and through. This is the wise plan of God. And you see this play out in creation. When He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He drew a circle on the face of the deep, that's the horizon, right? When He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the foundations of the deep, when He assigned the sea its limit. Now, God's Word is not a science textbook, but when it talks about things like this, it is scientifically accurate. You can, you know, even before they discovered the whole tides and the moon, you know, and gravity and all that pulling on it, and that keeps the ocean where it is, God's Word told us that. It told us that it can't go beyond that. So even when you have disasters, you know that the ocean is always going to go back to where it is. It has to stay there because of the laws of God that He has put on His creation. The waters would not transgress His command. Even with the flood, He set limits on that. And He promises to never do that again. When He marked the foundations of the earth, then I was beside Him as a craftsman. You know, picture, you know, not literally, but it's just this picture of being alongside and helping in this process of God marking out, making His creation. And I was daily His delight. Rejoicing always before Him. The joy, the word there for rejoicing, is to laugh, it's to make sport. I mean, can you think, just as this picture of God there, like, I'm going to make guinea pigs that'll popcorn, right? And why? Just because they're happy. You know, and I'm going to make dolphins that just love to play in the spray and love to do this. You know, why? Just because. And there's so many parts of God's creation that they just love to play. You watch the lion cubs and the, you know, we had goats and the kids, and they would just bounce and play, and the calves out in the field. I mean, they're just bouncing and playing all over the place. Why? I think this is reflective of a God who is delighting in His creation, and He loves to see things like that. I was daily His delight. It's even more, becomes even more powerful, you think, as wisdom is Jesus, the embodiment of wisdom. Think of what did God say when Jesus came and was baptized? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I am delighting in Him. He is showing it. You know, God was just so pleased with what His Son did. But He rejoices in His inhabited world. God delights in His creation. And my delight was with the sons of men. He delights with us as well. He made us as the pinnacle of His creation. And He rejoices in what... Now we, you know, through the curse, messed everything up. But God's got a plan to fix all that. This is the beauty and sovereignty of God who delights in everything He has made. This brings to mind Ephesians 1. Why did God do all this? To the praise of His glory, because of the good pleasure of His will, it talks about. He just wanted to. Not because we deserved it, but because He wanted to. Then in the end, He would be glorified. Wisdom was there at the beginning. God used wisdom. You know, there's a lot of decisions that go into building your own home. Some of you know that. My brother, a couple of years ago, built a home. And It was a year's process of making a lot of decisions that went into that. And I've heard it said that you need to build about like three or four of your own homes before you finally get it right, because there's going to be times down the way that, you know, you wish you'd done something different. And if you don't put in that time, you'll regret some of the decisions you made earlier. Do you see how wisdom helps all those who utilize her wisely to begin? Do you understand that if the Lord needed wisdom to plan and make all things, how much more do we need wisdom? That Colossians 1 talks about that, how, you know, extolling the Christ and all that He is. But it says this, beginning in verse 20. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 1:20. As thinking about, you know, what God did in the wisdom of the cross, we need wisdom. It says, "I will destroy the wise, or the wisdom of the wise, and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God of the world, through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. And he goes on to talk about God's plan of salvation, and, you know, Jews, they trip over this, and the Gentiles, you know, they think it's foolish, and yet God has taken Jews and Greeks and Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. You know, God at His lowest point, weakest point, is so much greater than us at our wisest and strongest point. We need the wisdom of God. Will you trust in God's way of beginning right? You want wisdom? You need to start the right way. You know, when you go to school, what do? You can learn the ABCs. We need to learn the ABCs. We need to admit that we have sinned. Romans 3:23, for all sin and fall short of the glory of God. We need to believe on Jesus Christ. Whosoever believes in Him should not perish from everlasting Christ. We can't save ourselves and then confess Christ publicly. Romans 10:9-10, as you confess in your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him dead, you'll be saved. No more, no less. Now, this is on the back of our Romans Road card that we have over there. But the ABCs, we need to start with the basics. We way overthink things. We complicate things. Will you begin right? Do you realize God's delight in His creation and in us? Will you seek to bring Him joy as you bring Him glory? 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you eat, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. You know, let your light so shine before men they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. It is our job to turn the praise back to Him. He delights in us, and we need to give Him glory. That's why we were created. Do you revel in your salvation and what God has done? I love that Ephesians 1, and just Paul is like, wow! This is what God did for us. We didn't deserve any of this. He adopts us, He chooses us, He predestines, He forms, you know, He saves us, He gives us His Spirit. We don't deserve any of that. We need to point the praise to Him. And as we seek to become like Christ, the Colossians 1, that's where, as we the more we understand who our Savior is, for this reason, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, and may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing in Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has. And then it begins a big long praise section about our Savior and how He, you know, is just so worthy of all the praise we could ever give Him. And it's all about Him and how He made and sustains all things, preserves it. We should give Him the praise and the glory. Do you see how wisdom begins? Last point here, or last reason, wisdom blesses in verses 32 through 36. Now therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways, hear instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my post at my doors. Going back to that, it was a public invitation, waiting there to find wisdom. For whoever finds me finds life. And not only that, obtains favor, grace, goodwill from the Lord. Contrast that. He who sins against me wrongs his own soul, literally does violence against himself. All those who hate me love death. How's that for sobering? Especially as we think of the seductive, the immoral woman who, that's where she takes you. But wisdom gives you life. Brings you life, brings you favor, blessing from God. We've seen this back in chapter 3. And throughout Scripture, you see example after example of those who listen to God's Word, they follow Him, and God, they receive God's favor. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Moses, Exodus 33:12. Samuel, 1 Samuel 2:26. You know, in the book of Proverbs it says, if you find a good wife, you get favor from God. Verse 18 through 20, 18:22. Mary, she found favor from God in Luke 1:30. Jesus, Luke 2:52. And we find favor from God through Christ. Ephesians 1:6. So listen to wisdom, and there's blessings that come, there's happiness that comes from God as we through wisdom as we seek His way. But if you don't, you're really harming yourself. You're killing yourself. That's what sin does. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. And if you hate wisdom, you're really loving death. You're being sadistic. Going down that road. Wisdom blesses. You know, when you make right decisions with building a home, it's a blessing to have a comfortable, safe place, right? You have you can listen to the storms howl, and like last night, again, it's been really windy this spring. I'm ready for this rain to be done. But I'm also very, very thankful to have solid, safe, warm places to go and to ride out the storms. To survive the winds and the cold and the heat. And when you have a solidly built building and the air conditioning and the heating is working well and you have good drainage and everything sealed up, that's a great place. There are blessings that come from all those decisions that you made. Contrast that. If you don't make good decisions with your home, you're going to find things falling apart. We were driving yesterday and commenting about all these barns that just let go, or properties where people just didn't do maintenance and they didn't make good decisions when they built it or where they put it. And now, you know, they're reaping the consequences of that. Do you see how wisdom blesses all who listen to her? Do you understand how wisdom brings life and favor from the Lord when you obey her? I mean, you see those examples all through Scripture. And I can attest even in my own life, as the more I've followed the Lord, the more He has blessed. And I know that's that's a general truth. There are times when God has plans and He allows hard times to come into our lives. Even when we're following Him. He said in Daniel's friends, in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, God allowed them to face the fiery furnace. But they said, God is able to deliver us, but even if He doesn't, we'll still follow Him. But generally speaking, we find life and favor from God, and ultimately, looking for eternal life. Do you realize how sin and hating wisdom is self-inflicted harm? You're loving death. Because sin is killing us. It's where it always goes, as James says. Will you be blessed or eternally cursed? John chapter 3 ends with that. If you respond to God's love, you believe in Jesus, you'll have eternal life. But if you don't, you reject the way, the person of wisdom, the wrath of God abides, remains on you forever. That is the serious consequences of rejecting the way of wisdom, is be cast in the lake of fire forever, condemned the second death. Do you see how wisdom blesses? You know, we all have our brand preferences, right? I mean, I talk to your farmers, and some of you are going to say John Deere, some of you are going to say Case IH, and some of you are going to say, there we go. You know, I talk to you owners of vehicles, and some of it's going to be Ford, some of it's going to be Chevy, it's going to be Toyota, it's going to be Nissan. I mean, the list keeps getting wider there. You know, even our computers, right? We have Apples, we have Macintosh, we have Androids. I mean, this happens in every area of life. We all have things that we think are the best. And it really comes down to a lot of it is preference. I mean, there are some things that are truly better than others. But this area, you understand how wisdom really is the best. It's no preference issue. It's the best because it beautifies, it benefits, it begins, and it blesses. Do you see how wisdom is the best? Will you utilize it? Because it is so needed for our lives. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this challenge. Help us to live in light, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.